The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you don't believe, you might want to think about that, because if you've been sort of talking about when you die, you're going to go to heaven, what have you, might just be off the mark there. The Almighty has also said concerning believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. Again, if you're a believer and you're just pottering along doing your thing and really not paying much attention to the Almighty, you might want to rethink that, and this program is really about that. So tonight's program is Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty Creator, Part 8, and we're looking at Component 4, Cleansing, and then we'll start looking at Component 5, which is Worship. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." So, an overview of tonight's program, we're going to look at dealing with contaminated artifacts in the dwelling, office, or other location. We'll consider the fact that personal cleansing is an iterative process. We'll look at the need for harmony in a covenant relationship. We'll look at driving out satanic messengers, angels. We'll look at undertaking a spiritual audit of one's life. If you truly want to draw close to Father, it is vital that you get free of demons, both on your person and in your dwelling. That'll bring the discussion on cleansing to a close, and we'll then start to revisit worship and speak about worship being making love to Father. We will speak about how wrong doctrine and wrong words and wrong thinking cause attempts at worship to be hurtful to Father. Bit of introduction. Who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I've got 26 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, and shortly physical books. What is the program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. That's the essence of my message. That's really what's most important, folks, is He desires a deep relationship with you. Doesn't matter how old you are, what your gender is, what your race is, what your color is, how big or how small you are, how rich or how poor you are. He desires a deep personal relationship with you. See my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Some questions from last week's program. Number one, can we start slowly? Yes, by all means, you can start as slowly or as fast as you want to. It's like anything else. If you start slowly, you might take a bit longer to get where you're going, or you might pick up speed and you might get there faster in the end. There is no recipe. There is no cast in stone approach here. Feel your way, formulate your own approach, and you'll end up where you end up. If you desire to be a friend, it's probably going to take more. Well, it's not probably. It will take more effort than if you're content to be a wise steward, for example. Next question, number two, if we accept what we're doing here, can't we not accept the consequences? By all means, you can accept the consequences, just that the consequences are not that pleasant. If you don't believe, well, you end up as a demon, ancestor spirits, and if you've been a reasonably good person, you're not going to have much status in the satanic demonic realm. You could even end up sitting where your corpse fell, be it in a grave, be it in the sea, wherever. And if you're a believer and you really don't make an effort, well, you could end up in the outer darkness, which is not a very pleasant place either. So, yes, you can do whatever you want to do. Choice is yours. But I would choose to become a friend of the Almighty's if I were you. What if the translation of the Bible is wrong? Well, it is wrong. It's something that I've spoken about in quite a lot of detail. If you go back a few months, I did a whole session on the Bible. And the English translations are all full of errors. So you need to be careful what you believe based on, well, on any book, but the Bible in particular. Question four, why is it so hard to follow these Ten Commandments? Well, it's a matter of mental position, actually. If you decide that you're really going to keep the Ten Commandments, it's actually not that difficult. Yes, if you've habitually lied, if you've habitually stolen, if you've habitually hoarded around, if you've habitually treated your parents badly and so forth, it's probably going to be a bit of a challenge. But if you've got a fix on how important it is, it's not necessarily that difficult. Who do we name the sin to? Not quite sure what that question is asking. The sin is yours. If you sin, it's yours. You can't name it off to anybody. You can't redirect it to anybody. If you sin as a result of somebody else's bad behavior or bad example or whatever, you're still accountable for it. You're still responsible for what you do. How can you get rid of the demons and things? Well, we've spoken a bit about that in the last session, and we'll speak about it a bit more in this session. It's basically prayer in the name of Yeshua, binding and casting out, and asking Father to send his mighty warring messengers, angels, to take the demons and take them where he wants them to go. Somebody made a comment to me during the week that superstitions were about harmless superstitions. Folks, there's no such thing as a harmless superstition. Either you're serving Father or you're serving Satan, and superstitions are generally serving Satan, or else they corrupt renditions of belief in Father. So no such thing as a harmless superstition. So we're going back to seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator, and we're returning to cleansing. So again, it's vital to understand how corrupt this world is and how much the forces of darkness, the satanic and demonic realm, are in control of the earth. If one is ignorant of this, one cannot hope to really walk in victory in this life. This series of programs seeks to address in detail the measures that one can take to overcome the corrupt state of the environment in which we're forced to operate. It is vital that you give the Almighty permission to work in your life and to teach you. Otherwise, you will remain in massive error and be defeated at the end of your life. Cleansing is a critical component of this. So we're back with looking at cleansing your dwelling, your office, or other premises. Last week we spoke about three categories of activities that bring demons into a dwelling or other building. I spoke about the other two categories, and now I'd like to address demons that came in with artifacts. This category is more problematic simply because there can be any number of artifacts that are giving demons a legal right to be present. Pray, Father, I ask you to show me all artifacts in my home or office or other location that are giving demons a legal right to be here so that I can dispose of them. Generally, you will be shown the most obvious items first. Simply inspect the contents of your bookshelves, items hanging on the walls, items in your cupboards, and remove anything that catches your attention or looks suspect. Then go over them one by one and ask Father if they're associated with demons. In its simplest form, this involves simply placing your hand on the item and pausing to listen to what Father has to say, in the form of yes or no, or if you're not sure what he said, put it in another pile. This could require you to place your hand on each book in turn and each picture in turn, and so forth. I'd just like to make a point about hearing Father. If you just started to walk with him, you're not necessarily going to hear him very clearly. Even when you are walking very closely with him, the noise in the environment can prevent you from hearing him all that clearly all the time. It takes a real effort to get to a place where you hear him absolutely clearly at all times. So there's a piece about walking by imuna or by faith, whereby you put your hand on an object and you sense what Father is saying to you rather than hear him say something to you. And that's just a case of choosing to be obedient. And if you think he said yes, then put it in the pile for yes. If you think he said no, put it in the pile for no. And if you put it in the pile for no, and then you have second thoughts or misgivings, well, then put it in the pile for yes. My outlook on this has been very simplistic. I was in a very dark place when Father spoke to me. I realized my life was a mess and that I wanted to change things. And so I was fairly willing to stick my neck out, and if I thought he'd said something, I would do it, even if I wasn't sure. And that has held me in good stead, because most of the time I did actually hear him. And very difficult to describe, folks, but it's really worth it. Just go for it. So continuing with cleansing your dwelling, in theory you should destroy the items by burning. But if you live in an apartment block or other environment where fire is not possible, you may need to resort to destroying the item as best you can and then praying over some grape juice or wine to represent the blood of the covenant and pouring a liberal quantity onto the item, sealing it in a bag and placing it in the trash. Pray, Father, I cover this item with the blood of the covenant and I ask you to prevent any other person from picking this up and being defiled by it. You will probably need to do several passes through your property over a period of time until you've disposed of everything. In practice, you will initially have some reluctance to destroy items and throw them out, particularly if there is some material value associated with them. So you will probably err on the side of caution. Once you have a revelation of the spiritual damage these items can do to you in your walk with Father, you will find it easier to get rid of them. See demons as flies hovering over a piece of rotting meat, the offending artifact, book, or so forth. Again, coming back to this thing of what do? You can come at this from two points of view. The one point of view is you want to hold on to everything that you've got from the past, and you're very reluctant to change. And frankly, I have to say to you, if you come with that mindset, you're not going to get all that far with Father in any reasonable time. Or you can come at it and say, you know what, I need to change. I want to go all out. I want to please Father. And I'd rather make a mistake and err on the side of disposing of something if I'm not sure than hold on to something and then realize that it was offensive to Father and it's got me into trouble. Your choice. I went the route most of the time of if in doubt, I got rid of it anyway. It's also a bit of a measure of your attachment to things. Note that in going through your premises, you may also encounter books and other items you've borrowed. In other words, were loaned to you and you never returned. which now constitute stolen property and must be restored to their rightful owners. If you've got something that's not yours and it's got demons on it, don't destroy it. Return it to the person you stole it from and tell them that it's got demons on it. It's up to them what they do for it. Don't compound your sin by stealing something and then destroying it. Depending on your life to date, you may also have stuff that you really did steal. And again, you must restore this to the rightful owners, which may require that you drive to the premises in full sight of all onlookers, offload the items and hand them over with due apology. This can be quite embarrassing and awkward, but if you're serious about serving Yah, then these things must be done. Father may also require you to pay damages, and in some cases you may be required to restore in multiples with cash or kind for the multiples, so restore threefold or fivefold. Doesn't often happen in my experience, but it depends on the circumstances. And again, folks, the thing here is to get a fix on what happens if you don't sort out your life. Do you want to live on a high throne for eternity, or do you want to get to the gates of heaven to be judged and be shown all your sloppy, half-hearted, miserable, unhappy, pathetic, useless stuff? It's up to you. If you're somebody who goes for excellence, then go for excellence in this too. The cleansing that I've just discussed will inevitably take place in iterative cycles. Cleanse yourself, cleanse your dwelling, etc., as you grow and learn more and as you hear Father more. Look out for aberrant behavior. For example, many years ago, before we really knew about Christmas being wrong, we had a fold-up Christmas tree with lights and ornaments, including a little troll. Every year when the tree was out and the troll was on the tree, there was strife in the house until one day we were praying in the lounge. My young son said, "Daddy, that troll is looking at me." Sure enough, there was a demon attached to the troll that had been assigned by the people who made the troll. We prayed about it and we burned the tree, the troll, and all the other ornaments because we had just in the previous few days become aware that Christmas is a pagan, that is, satanic feast, and that the Christmas tree is an Asherah pole or totem, and the decorations all have satanic significance. Again, classic example there. I was dragging my feet. I knew that Christmas was wrong, but because the children were used to enjoying Christmas every year and it had been a big event in our lives, we were slipshod and half-hearted about it. Maybe it worked out okay because the thing with the troll made everybody aware that demons were real and that one needed to be scrupulous about getting rid of this stuff. I can't encourage you enough. Folks, just do it. Get to be eternity-minded and just do it. It may seem difficult at the time, but it's worth it. Let's have a look at harmony versus a divided house. If you're in covenant union or marriage with another, that is, you have a sexual tie and you're not in perfect harmony, once you start to actively serve the Almighty, the forces of darkness will take advantage of the spiritual law that a house divided against itself shall not stand. They will attack you in every possible way, and in particular, they will get legal rights to block your finances. If you are one flesh with multiple other people, one of the most important things to do is to clean up as a matter of urgency. See the articles on the Virgin's Covenant. It's about halfway down the main menu on the website. And Separation of Man and Woman, Divorce, which is under the menu item Men and Women on the website for more information. It's quite a complex subject. I hope to teach on it in a few months' time. But until then, please just visit the website and get whatever you need from there, or you can download the books, and that's all in the books. Once you've resolved, in other words, cut off all illegitimate one-flesh bonds and as a man are left with however many one flesh connections Father has required you to keep. What that boils down to is that Father created us such that a man can have more than one wife. And you can't just get rid of people that you've got one flesh bonds with if they're legitimate in the court of heaven. If as a woman you should be left with only one flesh connection, you're then in a position to clean up your covenant relationship, your marriage. Unless you do that, it's a mess. You join to other people, those people are influencing you, you're influencing them. There's a transfer of demons down those connections. Really, you need to clean up. In order to serve Father truly effectively, it is vital that you and your partner or partners come into perfect harmony. Pray. Father, I ask you to show us every area of our lives where we are not in perfect harmony. Please help us to course correct as necessary and teach us how to work in perfect harmony. This should be a daily prayer, and it will require focus and determination in most cases. If your partner is an unbeliever, it's impossible to be in perfect harmony, and divorce will probably be the end result if they do not also come to belief. If you're single and plan to enter into covenant with another, then it is vital that you agree the basic terms of engagement, headship, etc., before consummating the covenant. If you cannot agree, do not go ahead with the union. Let's look at driving out satanic entities. Any believer who is making a real effort to serve the Almighty is assigned a satanic messenger, you would probably know it as an angel, to monitor their behavior, obtain feedback from their demons, and give assignments to their demons. This satanic messenger is looking for sin or any knowledge of your plans and events in your lives that will enable the forces of darkness to gain a judgment over you or formulate a plan to disrupt your life. That messenger is legally entitled to monitor your every move and shadows you together with your guardian messenger, one of which is assigned to each and every human being and records your life for the court of heaven and also protects you to the extent that you are in Father's will. You can do nothing about the satanic messenger. You can pray for other satanic messengers in your environment to be cast out. Father, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to cast out all satanic messengers that do not have a legal right to be in my home, following me around, and send them where you want them to go. Really important to understand this, folks. The spirit realm is very well organized. It's pretty complex. You can't just do what you feel like doing. If you're a believer and things are not working very well, it's almost certainly because you don't understand these things and you're being less than disciplined about these things. Just think about it. It doesn't matter where you go, as an absolute minimum, there are two messengers following you, one from the satanic realm and one from Yah's kingdom. One from Yah's kingdom is doing their best to protect you, and they're making a record of everything that you do and say. The one from the satanic realm is looking for any weaknesses in you, any sin that you commit, any things that you do that are wrong, anything that can be done to get a judgment against you. And if you're not set apart, sanctified, holy, cleansed, and really serving Father, that messenger, that satanic messenger, is going to be putting demons on you whenever there's an opportunity. It's going to be pulling stunts to get you to sin. It's going to be leading you astray in every possible way that you are giving it a legal right to do. Where you want to get to is you do all this cleansing that I'm talking about. You clean up your act. You get close to Father. And this satanic messenger then is just going to have to sit there with his arms akimbo because there's really nothing that he can do. That's where you want to be. Let's talk about undertaking a spiritual audit of your life. There's a further dimension to really getting yourself clean and in right standing with Father. do this ideally in the 7-day period discussed in last week's message. Ideally commence on the first or second day of the fast and do it progressively over the balance of the week. If that is not practical, do it as and when the opportunity presents itself. Take a notepad or notebook, preferably large pages, A4 or letter size. Write down every year of your life from the year of conception to the present, one blank page for each year. Then for each year, write down one or more things that you know about that year that will help you to recall the events of the year, such as started primary school, got married, etc. Pray. Father, I ask you to bring to my remembrance all key events in my life that it is important for me to recall. Folks, this is really important. You're going to be judged at the end of your life for whatever you did that you haven't repented of. If you really want to get close to Father, you need to really change things, change the way you think, change the way you do things. So it's really important to do this audit, and you might do it several times over a period of a few years, although you'll find that once you've done it once, it becomes an ongoing discipline that you constantly getting things come to your remembrance. I had a situation recently where I suddenly remembered something that had happened with somebody about 15 years ago, and I emailed them and repented, and they forgave me. If you cannot remember anything for a year, write the year down anyway and leave the page blank so that you can fill in the gaps as you proceed. You will be surprised at how much you remember over a few days of doing this exercise. If you have others who can help you fill in gaps, such as parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, children, etc., consult them as seems appropriate. Once you have a reasonably complete record of your life, start a new set of pages and write down one set, year by year, with all the sins that you can think of that you committed in that year. Focusing on the major ones initially, but noting down everything that comes to mind. Note that you will not necessarily get everything. There may be sins that you did not know were sins. For example, I discovered years after my first marriage ended that my wife had misrepresented that she was a virgin when I consummated with her, and that I had lived in adultery with her for 25 years, believing I had taken her virginity. My ignorance did not alter the fact that I was in adultery, a sin deserving of death. Pray, Father, I ask you to show me all sins during my life that you want me to deal with. The sexual thing is particularly complex. Such a lack of awareness. Sexual intercourse is a covenant act. If you've been sleeping around, had multiple sexual partners that you're no longer in relationship with, there's quite a lot of work to be done in cleaning that up. As I say, there's an article on the website on separating man and woman under the men and women's menu item on the home menu. There may be generic sins. For example, you may have a habit of telling white lies or cursing people. Note that the phrase take care is actually a curse. Calling someone pumpkin as the term of endearment is a curse. Many other things like that. In which case, you may need to note the first instance and then note something like told white lies habitually from roughly this age. Too many cases to note. The same applies to old wives' tales, etc., such as believing you will be cursed if you walk under a stepladder. Things like that are actually believing in the satanic and demonic realm. They're not innocent little superstitions, etc. They're really not. Do the same exercise with the pad with regard to wrongs that you did towards others and wrongs that you perceive others did to you. Bitterness and resentment that you may be holding on to. Anything that you can think of that is not the way you perceive that Father wants it to be. Remember that you will be tormented in hell for a period of time for every unconfessed sin. So it's worth being thorough. As you make notes, keep asking Father to bring to your remembrance all incidents that he wants you to deal with. This entire process can easily take several days, and you may find that once you've started, that things keep surfacing for months and even years as you dig deeper and get closer to Father. You may look at this and say, this is over the top, it's onerous, it's too difficult, why would I do that? Well, as I've explained, I hope by now, the life we live is nothing like the way we imagined it was before we became aware of these things. You've got a choice. You don't have to do any of this. Or you can go all out and become really close to Father. And if you think you can get close to Father without cleaning up your act, I'm sorry to disabuse you. If you've truly come to first belief and you pray appropriately in the first 7 days, you will have the slate wiped clean in one pass. However, most people who think they made a first decision in later life actually made a very superficial decision early in life and are returning to Father in later life, in which case the 7 days of grace do not apply. It is better to be cautious in this regard. Once you have a fairly complete list, lay it before Father, get on your knees before him, and pray along the lines of, Father, I bring my life before you, my sin, my error, my bitterness and resentment, my anger, my unforgiveness, the wrongs done to me, all that is wrong with my life to date. And I ask you to forgive me for all of the sins recorded here and all that I've not remembered. I release all those who have wronged me and I choose to forgive them. And I ask that those that I have wronged forgive me. I confess my addictions, my lusts, my whatever comes to mind as you pray. And I ask you to release me and forgive me and wash me with the blood of the covenant that I may make a new beginning as I start a new life with you today. If there is anything that I have overlooked that you consider important, I ask you to bring it to my remembrance in the days ahead. Amen. It may take you several hours to fully pray the above over your entire list. Not to be done flippantly, not to be done in a hurry. This is a serious cleaning up your life before Father. If you do this seriously, you will notice a difference. You will find that things happen that trigger events into your consciousness for years after you do this exercise. In such cases, simply bring the matter quickly before Father, pray appropriately, and let it go. In doing this exercise, you're likely to find situations where you need to contact people and repent, make restitution, or make right in some other way. You will be surprised how receptive people are to a quick phone call or email that says along the lines of, I have remembered that in a round I did this against you. I repent and ask you to forgive me. Be aware that when you die, you will go before the judgment seat of the Creator and your entire life will be replayed through a series of encounters with people who have gone before you, people who come to you to repent, and people who you need to repent to. To the extent that what you did was sin, you will then be sent to hell for a period of torment proportionate to your crime before you enter heaven for eternity. So it really is worth doing this job thoroughly. Again, really want to stress, you may look at this and say, but why do I have to do all this? Folks, this world is a mess. It's really a huge mess. We are so far away from Father. If you were able to see the way Adam was when he was first created, filled with the Spirit, 18 feet, 6 meters tall, huge stature, huge intellect, pure. And you can get a fix on how contaminated we are. You realize that if you want to spend eternity with Father and close to Father in heaven, a bit of work is called for. So concluding on cleansing, the cleansing process is a major factor in getting to a close relationship with Yah. As long as you have sin and error and demons, all of which Yah hates, you will not get to a place of close relationship, and you will be wide open for your demons and the forces of darkness to sidetrack you or take you out totally. I encourage you to go for all that is suggested here to the greatest possible extent. Note that it is possible to get relatively close to Father while you have a lot of error and demons, if you really work at it. I've encountered highly anointed people who've had serious errors despite being relatively close to Father. But in all cases, their sin and error have eventually taken them out. In considering this section, see also the articles on the website on We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood, Principalities, Powers, Thrones and Dominions, etc., pornography, and demonic activity associated with artifacts in dwellings. If you search for these in the article search bar or in the Google search bar on the website, you should find the articles. As I say, it is possible to get relatively close to Father without doing all this. But in the current age, you're probably not going to be able to sustain it because the forces of darkness are just going to come after you and use the legal rights that you've given them to attack you left, right, and center. This is all about cleaning your life up, A, so it's pleasant for Father to be in and on you, and secondly, so that the demons and the satanic cannot touch you. So that ends the discussion on cleansing, and we're going to move on to worship. I covered worship in quite a lot of detail a few months ago and would therefore suggest that you revisit those teachings in addition to what I have to say here. Worship is making love to Father Yah. It's drawing close to him, giving him your undivided attention. And if you really go for it, he will pour out his spirit on you and fill you more and more so that you draw closer and closer to him. You should commence worshipping from the day you choose to draw close to him. So why have I left this point to so late in this document, in this teaching? Because the other issues will get in the way of true worship. Father wants you to come to him as pure as possible. Yes, he will meet you where he finds you. But it is difficult for him to allow you really close to him when you're crawling with demons, full of bitterness and resentment, surrounded by satanic artifacts and stolen goods, confused with massive error and deception, and generally far from where he would like you to be. By making cleansing and other topics discussed thus far a priority, you open the way to come to pure worship and pure lovemaking as soon as possible, and you make your worship as pleasing to him as possible. Think of it as the bride bathing and donning a pure white wedding dress. The metaphor of marriage is really important. Ephesians chapter 5, the last couple of verses, makes this analogy that the relationship between a man and a woman in marriage is comparable to the infilling of the Spirit of the Almighty. Really encourage you. If you really want to serve Father, you want to get filled with his spirit in this life so that you can do the things that he wants you to do. Continuing with worship, you should worship from day one. The fact that the worship is the fifth item in this document, in this teaching, doesn't alter the fact that you should be worshiping right from the beginning. Remember that we do not worship so that we feel good, although as you get closer to Father, you're likely to have really pleasant experiences when worshiping. We worship so that Father feels good. There is, however, a major challenge with regard to worship. Most of the worship songs available worship Jesus at some level, and those that do not worship Jesus worship God and the Lord, and most have words that are trite or meaningless. Do you have any idea how offensive the song, Jesus, do you know how much I love you, is to Father Yah? Firstly, praise is being given to a human being, which is gross sin. Secondly, the name used is pagan and derived from Zeus, and relates to one of the highest level demonic masterminds on earth. And thirdly, if the worship is actually directed at Father Yah, he knows much better than we do how much we love him. And a key measure of our love is our obedience to his commandments. So singing the song evidences that you do not love him enough to clean up your act. Folks, if you really want to be in relationship with somebody, you treat them well. You don't call them by wrong names. You don't sing about other people. It's just not on. And I ask you to see that. You wouldn't like to be treated the way most believers treat Father. Note that two people can sing the same song in the same congregation at the same time, and one can be worshipping Yah because of a deep inner connection, and the other can be worshipping a demonic mastermind called Jesus. In the context of worshipping Jesus, as I was preparing the material on which this teaching is based, Father said to me, "For a believer, worshipping Jesus or Yeshua is equivalent to your wife having loud and passionate sex with your son in your presence." Think about it. He said further, "A believer singing to God or the Lord is equivalent to your wife crying out the name of your worst enemy as she climaxes in lovemaking with you." Sadly, while most songs are not as massively offensive as the offensive "Jesus, do you know how much I love you" example, the vast majority are doctrinally inaccurate to the point of being hurtful and offensive, or presumptuous, or plain irritatingly stupid from Father's perspective. Over the last 26 years, I've narrowed my choice of worship songs down to a collection of about 20 songs, many of which I've been using almost exclusively for the best part of the period, because the vast majority of songs on my substantial collection of over 50 CDs are simply not suitable or not effective. A few new songs have been added in recent years, but overall the collection has remained largely static. Every now and again I come across a new singer or album and hope to find something to add to my core collection, but generally I'm disappointed and return to the core set. And even then, the language in that core set is all with regard to God and the Lord, and there's some references to Jesus which are inappropriate, but at least the bulk of the words are appropriate and have value in terms of helping one to draw closer to Father and not cause him undue grief and hurt through their use. There's a huge need for an anointed worship group to record songs with the correct names and correct lyrics, but I've yet to meet anyone who cares enough to do anything about that situation. I'd like to talk about worship as your constant practice. The Almighty says worship relies on the right heart attitude and appropriate words with anointed music. The word anointed is a technical term relating to the presence of the Spirit of the Almighty in and on a believer, or on the words of a song, the writing in a document, etc. Father Yah is everywhere, and as we draw close to him, the presence of his Spirit grows more intense around us and on the work that we do, be it the songs we sing, the words we write, whatever. In preparing the previously mentioned collection of worship songs to make available as an extension of this document, I went through each song and removed references to Jesus and removed applause and wolf whistles. Wolf whistles during worship are triggered by demons, and applause during worship is entirely inappropriate. Both are jarring for Father. A few days after we'd removed these items from these songs and been exclusively using them for our daily worship, Father said to me, "It is interesting to notice how much I've been holding myself in, listening to these songs in order to protect myself from the hurt I feel when people direct worship due to me to Yeshua. Thank you for removing those words." Folks, he's lonely. He wants companions. He's deserving of your love and your sacrifice to bring yourself closer to him and to bring him joy. Please don't see it otherwise. This is a huge opportunity for you. So to recap, we looked at dealing with contaminated artifacts in the dwelling, office, or other location. We spoke again about the fact that personal cleansing is an iterative process. We spoke about the need for harmony in a covenant relationship. We spoke about driving out satanic messengers. We looked at undertaking a spiritual audit of one's life. I stated that if you truly want to draw close to Father, it is vital that you get free of demons, both on your person and in your dwelling. This brought the discussion on cleansing to a close. We then started to revisit worship and spoke about worship being making love to Father. We spoke about how wrong doctrine and wrong words and wrong thinking cause attempts at worship to be hurtful to Father. I'm really hoping that if you've been listening to this program fairly regularly or reading the transcripts or listening to the podcasts, you are really beginning to go for it. I've had the blessing in the last week to minister to a young man in the United States who's gone on a 7-day fast and been mightily touched by Father during that process. He's had experiences which Father says no more than about 100,000 people on the planet have had, and he's reached a level of anointing that only a few thousand people have reached in this age. These things work. The fasting, the anointing, coupled to a quality decision. And I urge you to take such a quality decision right now. Some important references on the website that you might want to download. There's an ebook, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. It's near the bottom of the main menu. 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, near the bottom of the menu. This broadcast is taken from that document. Recommended Worship, also near the bottom of the menu. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. And recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. They're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com/. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking at. Volume 0 of the book set contains tables of contents of all of the other books. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CI webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I'd love to help you. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Again, I must stress, you personally, the person I'm speaking to right now, can become a deep personal friend of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, how educated you are, how uneducated you are, how wealthy you are, how poor you are, what your race is, where you come from, any of that stuff. He desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you give yourself to him today and pray for him to come and live in you, he will give you wisdom. He will give you healing. He will help you get out of poverty. It really is worth seeking to become his friend. It's not easy. It's hard work. You need to go through all of the things that I've been talking about for the last few weeks. But it's worth it. I really promise you it's worth it. Please think about it. If you've not made a decision yet, now's the time. Right now, I encourage you to go for it. That's all for today. Good night. Father, I